And now your speaker in this lesson is Tim Canup.
Now allow me to call your attention to the opening verses of the Gospel according to Luke. In Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, Luke wrote, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things, which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." Faith is an important aspect in order for one to become a child of God. We must have faith. You see, our faith is based on the evidences that are provided in the New Testament. It is not a leap in the dark, as some would have us to believe. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul said, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." But you see, it is our faith or belief that motivates us to obey God's commandments. It is our obedience to the faith, the gospel system of faith, that leads us unto salvation. The Bible does not teach that salvation comes at the very moment of faith in Jesus Christ without any further acts of obedience. In fact, James said in James 2 and verse 24, "Ye see then how that by works of obedience, a man is justified, and not by faith only." In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul said, "For by grace are ye saved through faith," literally the faith, the gospel system faith. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, the Hebrews writer says that Jesus, being made perfect, became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Obey what? Obey the commandments that He has given to us in the New Testament. All of them. Now, let us go back to our text, Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. These verses serve as a prologue to Luke's account of the life of Jesus Christ. Luke begins with the word "forasmuch" or "inasmuch." This compound word in the original language literally means "since it is so and could not be otherwise." You see, the account of Christ's life that Luke is about to give is an accurate one that will be profitable in establishing and maintaining our faith. There are some things in these verses that we need to point out due to the fact that they give us some important information about faith. First of all, notice with me the focus of faith. In verse 1, Luke said, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us." Note the use of the plural, "things," not "thing." Luke says that they are most surely believed. He did not say the things the majority decided to accept. Rather, as the New King James Version renders it, "those things which have been fulfilled among us." The original language here indicates the permanent state after the completed action. What things are being referred to here? That is our focus of faith. It is Jesus the Christ, His perfect life, His vicarious death, and the powerful resurrection. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, we know that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, those who have faith in Christ are those who are motivated to obey His commandments. In Acts chapter 1, Luke's other writing, verses 1 and 2, Luke wrote, "The former treatise or letter have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach unto the day in which He was taken up." Our faith is focused on a belief, number one, that Jesus came by a virgin birth. This was prophesied in Isaiah 7 and verse 14. Isaiah said, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel." It was fulfilled in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 and following. There in Luke 1, beginning at verse 26, we read, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. You see, friends, this was no ordinary birth. Mary was not simply a young woman, as some versions have it. She was a virgin. She was about to conceive the Son of God. The focus of our faith is a belief that Jesus would be king. We read in Luke 1, verses 32 and 33, He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. Now watch, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Dear friends, Jesus Christ is a king, and in order for him to be king, he must have a kingdom. The teaching that Jesus will return and set up an earthly kingdom is foreign to the Bible. If we want to be in his kingdom, then we must subject ourselves unto him and obey his commandments, which places us into his kingdom or church. The terms kingdom and church in the New Testament are interchangeable. Not only must we have faith or belief that he is king, but also that he is Lord. The word Lord simply means master. It denotes one who possesses or one who has authority. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Jesus asked in Luke 6 and verse 46, Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? The focus of our faith is a belief in God's testimony. Luke chapter 3 and verse 22. There we read, And the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily shape, like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven, which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Number 5, the focus of our faith is a belief in his miracles. Jesus' miracles were to confirm that he was the Son of God, that he came from God. Nicodemus in John chapter 3 acknowledged this. In verses 1 and 2 we read, There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Peter said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Number 6, the focus of our faith is a belief in his death for the remission of our sin. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper in Luke 22 and verse 20, he took the cup and said, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Matthew's account in Matthew 26 and verse 28, Jesus said, For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. The focus of our faith, number 7, is a belief in his resurrection. The 24th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke records this great event in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which has been labeled the resurrection chapter, tells us that we have the victory because Jesus was victorious. Dear friends, we serve a risen Savior, and our faith is based on that fact. Number 8, the focus of our faith is a belief in the Great Commission. Luke chapter 24, verses 46 and 47. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Mark's account, Mark 16 and verse 16, Jesus said, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. According to these verses and others, baptism is for the remission of our sins. Number two, consider with me the foundation of our faith. In verse 2 of Luke chapter 1, we read, Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Notice these were eyewitnesses. Those of us living today have never seen Jesus. Therefore, it would be inaccurate for anyone today to say that they are witnessing for Jesus. They have never seen Jesus. But still, we can have faith based on the testimony of the eyewitnesses of the New Testament. In John chapter 20 and verse 29, Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Allow me to illustrate this point. If I had something in a box and asked a group of people gathered together what was in the box, if someone were to guess what was in there, it would be simply by coincidence. Let's say that I call on one person to guess what is in the box. Then, after they guess, I were to show another person what is actually in the box. They are an eyewitness. They have seen with their own eyes what is in the box. If I tell this person to tell everyone else what is in the box, and then I go back to the original person, first person that I ask, and that person can know by the testimony of an eyewitness what is in the box. Faith is based on evidences. We have the evidence in testimony of these eyewitnesses, which is accurately recorded for us in our Bible. In John 20, verses 30 and 31, And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, there we read, To whom, referring to the apostles, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Also from verse 2, we learn that they were ministers of the word. In the first century, those who received God's word received it by revelation. To the apostles in John chapter 14 and verse 26, Jesus said, But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. In chapter 15 and verse 26, speaking of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, He shall testify of me. In chapter 16, verse 13, still talking to the apostles concerning the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, He will guide you, you apostles, into all truth. Now, notice with me Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. In Ephesians 3, beginning at verse 1, the Apostle Paul said, For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote aforetime in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now this morning, finally, let us consider the fruits of faith. Notice with me verse 4. Luke said that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. The word know that is used here comes from a word that means to know exactly, completely, through and through. Dear friends, you see, knowledge produces faith. Not just any knowledge, knowledge of God's Word. God's Word is what gives us understanding. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, the Hebrews writer said, through faith we understand. Faith is not instant. It's not automatic. It comes from a knowledge of God's Word. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. That is why we're exhorted to gain knowledge. By doing so, our faith can be deeply grounded. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, Peter admonished, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Dear friends, then we can learn the certainty of those things. The word certainty, as it is used here, means not liable to fall. Steadfast, firm, hence denoting safety. It was used to refer to proofs, written security, security in a commercial sense, contracts, titles, and deeds. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 32, it is used to refer to the prison doors which were shut securely. The word that is used was a technical law term and was used to the convincing nature of an argument. This is a powerful term and refers to the undisputable certainty of the gospel. We can absolutely know that the Bible is the Word of God. We can know with certainty these things are the truth by the testimony of eyewitnesses. Dear friends, knowing such, there is no reason for anyone not to obey the commandments found within the New Testament. Charles C. Pugh III wrote in a book titled Things Most Surely Believed. This preface sentence of Luke contains profound implications that attest to the truthfulness of the case for Christianity. These implications pressed on every honest thinking person the clear claims of the New Testament writers. These implications cannot be dismissed with the wave of the hand or some cute quibble. The fact is, they cannot rationally be dismissed at all. They serve with the totality of available evidence as proof that the religion of Jesus Christ is true. Dear friends, if you want to serve God, if you want to be His child, then you must do according to the commands that He has given in His Word. The body of evidence that we call our Bibles, because of the fact that we have never seen Jesus the Christ in person, that provides us with accurate eyewitness testimony. If we will honestly weigh the evidence found in the New Testament, accept it for the truth that it is, then, as Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Dear friends, we must have faith. We must have faith that Jesus is the Christ. In John chapter 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, except ye believe that I am, except ye have faith, Jesus said, ye shall die in your sins. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But our faith alone will not accomplish us becoming children of God. By our faith, we must be moved to obey the commands Jesus has given. What commands? Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, Jesus commanded that we repent of our sins, or else we will perish. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, Jesus commanded that we confess Him before others, or He will not confess us before His Father in heaven. He also commanded in Mark chapter 16, in verse 16, that we must be baptized in order to be saved. Dear friends, do you have faith that Jesus is the Christ? Then why not obey His commandments? We're not asking you to obey the commandment of any man, but rather the commandments that God Himself has given to us in the New Testament. By your faith, why don't you obey those commandments today?
Your speaker has been Tim Knupp.